Good morning. Let's turn our Bibles to Proverbs. Proverb 29, chapter 29, verse 20. Proverbs 29, verse 20. I'm going to be reading from the NIV version here. 29, verse 20. Do you see someone who speaks in haste? There is more hope for a fool than for them. Do you see someone who speaks in haste? There is more hope for a fool than for him, or than for them. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this morning. We just come into your presence and help us to just meet with you, to hear from you. God, Holy Spirit, come. We invite you. And we just want to hear your voice, God, your words this morning. And help us to pray and just connect with you, God, as we begin our day. Thank you, God. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Do you see someone who speaks in haste? There is more hope for a fool than for him. I remember a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Sam was preaching and he quoted, I can't even say his name. He's a Roman writer from the first century, Publius Syrus or something. And he said, I've often regretted my speech, but never my silence. I've often regretted my speech, but never my silence. Same idea that we should be careful what we say. We should be careful how we use our words. That those who speak in haste, there is more hope for a fool than for him. I like it. I like that idea. You know, the book of Proverbs is very interesting because if you look through other ancient wisdom literature, there's actually a lot of similarity. There's actually, you know, because if you look at our, like the Asian culture, I'm sure there's many proverbs that you can think of, many stories, fables that you can think of that have the same idea of you have to be careful what you say, right? Once it comes out of your mouth, there's no way you can take it back. And there is power behind what we say. And so I just wanted us to reflect upon that truth this morning. And as you go about your day, that you would be careful with your words. You know, that you would really think about what you're saying and think about how am I blessing others? How am I blessing God? And also, in a way, how am I blessing myself through these words? Okay, so how does our tongue, how do our words affect others? In Proverbs 18:21, it says, there is the power of life and death in our words, right? What we say can either give life to someone or make them feel like they're dead, you know, to get rid of their hope and to bring them down. I remember maybe half a year ago, my wife and I, we started exercising and we started doing this program called T25. And if you haven't seen T25, I encourage you to do it. It's very difficult, but there is a very athletic, high energy, charismatic trainer that's on screen, and his name is Sean T. And I'm just saying there's power in calling something out of a person, right? And Sean T does it very well, right? He will work you hard and he will call something out of you and he'll say, I believe in you, you know? You can do it. Give me all you've got. 25 minutes, nonstop. Let's go for it. I believe in you. And I know he's just looking at the camera, but I see his eyes looking at me, and it gives me strength to continue. And I remember when my wife was giving birth just a few weeks ago, I was using Sean T sayings to my wife. I would say, you can do it, you know. 10 more minutes. Give me all you've got. You know, I would say, just think about T25 and how you push through, and you can push through this as well. But there is power in calling something out of somebody. And that's the power of our words. And that's really the prophetic ministry, right? When you are praying for someone and you download from the Holy Spirit what God is saying about this person. What you see, maybe with your natural eyes, is someone that is just insecure, maybe someone that is living in sin, someone that seems to have a lot of issues. But when the Holy Spirit gives you a glimpse of what He is doing in that person's life and what he or she can become in God, and you call that out of that person, then you're giving life to that person. You know, someone that has been living in death, you know, metaphorical death in their heart. You can speak life to that person. And I'm sure many of us can attest to the power of words in your own life. You've probably received prophetic words and prayer from different people that have given you hope. And it's certainly true for my life, where I was, you know, would have just been a very insecure, probably powerless, just a churchgoer, you know. And many people have spoken life to my heart to get to the place where I'm at today, where I'm much better. I'm still, you know, we're all works in progress, but much better than where I would have been without those prophetic words that have come into my life. So my question to you today is, think about who in your life, especially in your workplace, who needs life-giving words from you today? Right? It really made me meditate upon this when I heard about all those teenagers and students in Hong Kong committing suicide, you know, just giving their life up because of the pressure of this world, pressure of the grades, and I'm going to preach this to our students, I think, because I think it's so important that they, from to their own peers, that they will be able to give life-giving words, and that they'll be able to pray for their friends, that they can connect to the Holy Spirit in some way, that it gives them hope, you know, hope and a security that comes not from their circumstances or their family or their education. In John chapter 6, verse 67, 68, Jesus says this to the 12 disciples. He says, "You do not want to leave too, do you?" This is after Jesus gives a very difficult teaching about him being the bread of life, and that people must eat from him and drink his blood. And people are, they get confused and they don't know what he's saying. And a lot of people leave. They say, "This is a hard saying." And they leave Jesus. When Jesus says to the 12, "You do not want to leave too, do you?" And verse 68, Simon Peter answers him and says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." You have the words of eternal life. What Jesus was teaching them and giving to them, these Peter recognized that these are the words of eternal life. And for us as Christians, I know this wisdom tradition, you know, this wisdom idea of being careful with our words is universal, right? Other ancient cultures have proverbs and stories to say how important it is that we think carefully about what we say. But for us as Christians, we have Jesus Christ living in our hearts who has the words of life, right? So how much more should we be giving life-giving words to the people around us and leading them to the truth, you know? Breaking the lies and the deception of the enemy. So that's the first point. It's important because of how it affects other people, our words. Secondly, how does our words affect ourselves? Or what's the relation, you know, with our words and what's going on inside? In Matthew 15, 11, Jesus says, "What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them. Are you still so dull?" In verse 16, he explains what he means. Jesus asked them, "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body. But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. It's Matthew 15, verse 16, 17 through 20. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. These are what defile a person, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile them. So why is it important for us to be careful with our words? Because our words is a reflection of what is going on in our hearts, right? What we say and the things that we speak come from our heart. So my question, I guess, this morning is, how do we change what is going on in the heart? Because what Jesus is saying, whatever is going on in your heart, it's going to come out of your mouth. But my suggestion to you is, sometimes how we change the heart happens through changing our behavior, right? Usually what goes on in our heart will come out of our behavior and our actions, but sometimes it works the other way, where if you change your actions, it actually starts to change your heart. Because sometimes we don't know how to transform. How do we get our heart to be transformed to such a place that these things don't come out of our hearts? Sometimes the secret is to fake it till you make it, right? To pretend. You might have all these nasty things going on in your heart, but you just choose not to say it. You fake it, and you pretend to be someone that doesn't have these things going on in your heart, and you stop yourself from saying these things, and eventually, I believe, it will change your heart. You know how they say that when you're not feeling happy, and when you're feeling down, even just a very physical act of smiling will lift your spirit up a little bit. It will make you a little bit happier. I think it's fascinating that what you do with your physical body, even though it's not really how you feel, it will actually change the way you feel. And there's a story of this lady. It was time for fasting. I guess her church was fasting, and she was considering what she was going to fast. And she wasn't going to fast food, but what the Holy Spirit convicted her about was to fast from criticizing. So she decides to stop saying critical things to herself, to other people, and to not even think criticizing thoughts. So she goes on this journey, and she talks about how in the beginning, it was very, very difficult because she was so used to just being critical about different people, saying different things to different people, saying different things to herself. But every time those thoughts came, she stopped herself from criticizing the other person and just saying something difficult or kind of nasty. And she says eventually her heart began to change and she started seeing things differently. Instead of seeing things with a critical eye, she began to see things more creatively, you know, and started thinking about how can I, what can I do in this situation? Instead of criticizing, if I'm not able to just criticize, what can I actually do to help that person or, you know, help this situation? And yeah, I think it's good. You know, all these things that we say, There's no excuse, you know. If you are nasty with your words, there's nasty things going on in your heart. But to change the heart, obviously we surrender it to the Holy Spirit. But I think it will help if you just stop it from coming out. And then the Holy Spirit will work on your heart as well as you work on your behavior. Foster, I believe it's Foster, Richard Foster, who writes the book, The Celebration of Disciplines. He talks about the discipline of silence and how all of us, we are so desperate to validate ourselves and to justify ourselves. And the primary way we do that is through our words, right? So we just keep talking. We keep saying things. We keep justifying ourselves. We want to try and explain ourselves. We want to justify our viewpoints. We want to justify our behavior. And even in some ways, we want to justify our existence. And we do that through our words, through our speech. And he says the discipline of silence, it challenges this inner need that we have to validate ourselves, to justify ourselves, and to lift ourselves up. Interestingly, he calls out pastors, and he says, pastors are the worst in this, because our job as pastors is to talk and talk and teach, and how he challenges the pastors, you know, to be silent and to try and let go, to surrender this need that we have to explain ourselves, to justify ourselves. So, that's how, anyway, this is how it relates to ourselves, you know, how, what our speech does to ourselves. And lastly, what our speech does to God. James 3, 9 through 10, it says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. In Matthew 21, 1, Jesus says, this is when Jesus enters into Jerusalem and all the children are praising, and the Pharisees ask him, do you hear what these children are saying? And Jesus says, yes. Have you never read, from the lips of children and infants, you have called forth your praise? What I'm saying is this, that what our lips and our mouths are meant to do is to praise the Lord, to give God praise and to worship the Lord. But are we doing that with our tongues? Or are we cursing and complaining and grumbling? In Philippians chapter 2, 14, Paul says, do everything without grumbling. And some versions say, do everything without complaining. And so I just want you to meditate upon that. You know, in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, give thanks in all circumstances. I think this is what we're meant to do with our mouth, with our lips. God has given them to us so that we can praise Him, glorify Him, worship Him. But are we doing that with our tongues, or are we so hasty with our speech that we just say things that we want to say, you know, without really considering, is it glorifying to God? Is it honoring to the other person? Is it life-giving to the other person? Why am I saying these things? Sometimes we need a little bit of introspection to say, why do I feel the need to explain myself, to justify myself, to say these things at this time? So, yeah, let's just reflect. Let's think about that. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit. I just read this morning about hidden sins in Psalms, I think it's 19, David says, God, you know, keep me from hidden sins and forgive me for my hidden sins. And let's just ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us if our speech has been just not glorifying to God in any way. So Andrew's going to come and lead us in a song. Let's meditate.
your servant, and I desire to be a blessing in your eyes. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. Be pleasing to you. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, my God. You're my rock and my redeemer. You're the reason that I sing, and I desire to be a blessing in your eyes. And every hour and every moment, Lord, I want to be your servant, and I desire to be a blessing in your eyes. You're my rock and my redeemer. You're the reason that I sing, and I desire to be a blessing in your eyes. And every hour and every moment, Lord, I want to be your servant. I desire to be a blessing in your eyes. In your eyes.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. Just wanted to share something. I feel like God wants to, for some of us here, God wants to speak to you some words of life, words of encouragement, to let you know that He is here for you, that you are created in His image, that there is hope. So let me just read to you these seven things, or eight things, that truth about who we are in Jesus Christ. Number one, I am created in the image of God, so there is great value. We are the best representation of God in all of creation. Number two, I am a very special and unique creation. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like me. Number three, I am God's greatest treasure. He bought us with the price of His blood. We are God's greatest treasure. Number four, I have all of God's love right now by His grace. Even if you don't feel loved by God, you have His love right now, because it's not dependent upon your actions, but depend upon His grace. So you have all of God's love right now by His grace. Number five, I am my beloved's, and His desire is for me. His passionate desire is for you and me. Number six, I can bring joy to the heart of God in a way that no one else can. You bring joy to God's heart in a way that no one else can. You're unique, you're special. You are special to the Lord, and there is a part of God's heart that you can fill that nobody else can fill. Number seven, I am a child of God. I'm a child of God. And number 8, I am all that God wants me to be. Prophetically, I am all that God wants me to be, even though I may not be that right now, because He is working in my life. He is faithful to complete what He has started. I am all that God wants me to be. So let it give you life today. Let the Word of God, let Jesus Christ speak words of life to your heart first, and then go and do the same. Thank you, God. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters. Let's pray for those going through cancer or going through chemo radiotherapy. Let's pray for God's power. Let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for strength upon our friends. Let's pray. Let's go to the second slide. Pray for those that are in need of salvation as well as healing. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for others of us going through various infirmities. Let's just pray for the healing of God, the healing power of God to be released upon our friends. Let's pray together. Let's go to the fourth slide. Praise God for a few people that have gotten jobs that were on this list. And let's continue to pray for our friends. Let's pray that they will not lose heart. Let's pray for God's encouragement and for favor and the right direction. So let's pray for our friends. Let's pray for our Tuesday prayer focus. Let's pray for our city, Hong Kong. Let's pray for the government. Let's pray for, you know, there's a lot of turmoil. There's a lot of anger and tension. And let's just pray for the peace of God and for the righteous rule of God here in our city. Let's pray regarding the wealth gap. Let's pray that something may be done in this city regarding that issue. Let's pray for the churches. Let's pray for the revival and, of churches, and for many more people to come to know Christ. Let's pray for all the different ministries that are listed, that are serving in Hong Kong. Let's pray for anointing and guidance, and then Hong Kong students. Let's pray against that. Let's pray for life. Let's pray that more people, more Christians will especially will rise up to speak words of life to one another, to others in their lives. Let's pray for this. Let's pray for the staff. Pray for just pray for unity. Pray for strength. Pray that no one gets sick. Pray that we'll work hard and fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and grow in our intimacy with the Lord, that we'll be able to hear from God. So let's pray and lift up the staff together. Let's pray for the worship team, the sound team, and the AV team. Pray for a heart of worship. Pray for heart of excellence. Let's pray that our personal devotion to God would be, the Sunday worship will be an overflow of our personal worship, our personal devotion to God. Let's pray for the worship team, the sound team, AV team. Let's bless our hospitality ministry. Let's pray for them. Pray for the welcoming team, barista team, for joy, love, friendliness, and God's anointing upon them. that through their smile and their small talk, that people would feel the love of God. So let's pray for our hospitality team. Let's pray for our house churches starting this week again. So let's pray for just a really great time, and for the leaders and for the members, for the presence of God to be really powerful at each of the house churches. Let's pray. Thank you, God. We love you, and we thank you for just your encouragement to us, God. I thank you that you speak to us first, your words of life, God, your words of love, your words of encouragement, God, and help us this day to be more mindful of our speech, God, how we are blessing others, how we are blessing you, and to think about, reflect upon the motive behind the things that we say, God. So thank you, Holy Spirit. We give this day to you, and I bless each person here, God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day today, and we'll see you here tomorrow.